Hi Mark, hi Matt, hi Kira.
Hello.
Hi Noah. Hi Matt.
Hello. I'm having my lunch.
Late lunch for Matt.
Yes. And I made it home just in time.
What are you eating?
I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I don't think that's basic at all.
I had a salad earlier.
What kind of salad?
I don't know. I get them at Costco. There's four of them in a thing. This one has like corn, cheese, chicken, and then like little tortilla chips crumbled up, like fried tortilla chips. I don't remember what they call it.
Hey, Ben. Matt was just sharing his food of the day.
What was it? I missed it.
Southwestern salad from Costco.
Well, you named it. I don't know. Is that what it's called?
That's just what I'm calling it. But I feel like that's what I've seen it called before. It usually has like chicken as well as like some tortilla strips.
No. Well, I started with my overnight oats at 6 a.m. this morning.
That sounds good.
Then I moved to my
camp. You can start us off by some introductions. Ken, want to start us off by?
Sure. Ken Pierce, council member.
Nali, council member with Marin County.
Matt Geltmaker, council member.
Mark Mulder, council staff.
Beth Mary, HIV Health Services.
All right, Care, council staff.
Beth Mary, HIV Health Services.
All right, let me go ahead and share a screen for our agenda. It'll be a shorter meeting.
Does Beth count as a member for a quorum?
No, I do not.
Then we only have three, right?
Yes, but that's enough if we actually have a total list of five, since two people were excused.
Okay, you just said four, so I mixed it up.
Oh yeah, that was my bad. My apologies. All right, so let me share a screen. Let's hope that works. Can you all see that?
Yes. Great.
So it's a fairly straightforward agenda with just two main items. It looks like I'll have an announcement as well. Carry forward allocation, which we'll be able to share screen and Beth can go over the recommendations from DPH and then there'll be a vote. And then I'll go over the micro elimination presentation because the presenter is unable to make this meeting. Any opposed to this agenda?
Point of clarification. If I'm also on steering, I can wait to have any suggestions for the carry forward until steering, right?
Yeah, at any stop along the way.
Okay.
So you can certainly approve, like if you want, as written from HHS, and then maybe have some suggestions of steering if you'd like. All totally right. Your choice.
Thank you.
I'll stop share now and let me get the minutes. Just a moment. Right, one moment. Share screen. All right, you can see here the minutes from June 14th. Thank you, Kira, for putting that together. Elected Ken, then we had three presentations. I guess that two of them weren't reviewed. and then we had one presentation from Thomas. And there you go. Any updates or anything like that for the minutes? Objections to approving? All right, approved. So I don't know, Ken, if you have the agenda handy. If not, I'm happy to go through it.
Yes, if you would. I don't have it in front of me because I thought
that was good. No worries. So the next agenda item was announcements. So I'll put myself on the list. Anyone else? All right, so my announcement is what I heard from Dave from the last co-chairs and staff meeting, which occurred yesterday. Dave reported that the co-chairs have determined that steering and full council will actually continue to be virtual in July. So Dave should be sending out a email to all council members with that announcement. Any other announcements? There's no public comment needed here because there's no members in public. We'll go to carry forward allocation. I'm going to cross my fingers that my run of luck continues and I'm able to share screen. Just a moment. But Kira has my back if I don't. All right. Beth, are you ready to go if I pull this up?
Sure. And my battery is very low. So if I disappear, I will come back again. Sorry.
All right. So we see at the top, before I hand over to Beth, I'll just say that we see here at the top the amounts. And then I will now pass it on to you.
Okay, great. So I think we mentioned this, Bill presented this at full council during the HHS update. Normally it starts in the first committee meeting of the month, but we had the information on the carry forward dollar amount ready, you know, a little early. So we shared the general information, but the editing of it starts in each committee. So this committee, I think Mark usually does this part of the intro, but right now I'm going to go through all of the things and then I'll take questions and you guys will discuss and introduce any amendments you would like. And then often somebody makes a motion to either approve it as is or with an amendment. And then there's voting and then it goes to the next committee and so on and so forth. And you can attend all of the meetings in the month. And then at the full council is when the final decision is made. And we need to get the submission into HRSA by, you know, end of day on July 31st, which I think is on the weekend. So pretty immediately after the council meeting, we put the proposal into HRSA. And Bill also, at that first presentation, which many of you may have seen, shared the timeline information. And the general timeline information is this is the money not spent last year. So when all the invoices came in and were paid, there was some unspent funds. I'm about to say how much. And we have until the end of this grand year to spend it. So up through February 28th, 2023 on approved by HRSA and the Planning Council categories. So this is the deciding what categories to put forward to spend that money. And so we have a short, like after the July action by this council, then HRSA usually takes a couple of months. And we usually know by around September and we implement between October and February. So you may see a theme that all of these are things that we can do with either existing contracts, modifying them to add services or things we can purchase in short timeframes. So that's kind of one of the constraints built into this process. But as I foreshadowed, we have more money this year than we have in recent years, likely a result of COVID and vacancies, you know, the people resigning. A lot of places. So unexpended available for carry forward from the Part A funds, that's $333,275. Carry forward from the Part A Minority AIDS Initiative funds, that's $72,297. So combining both of those, it's $405,572. And then the rest of this table has all of the proposals. And then there's also similarly numbered paragraph descriptions of the same items. So this first, I'll focus on the table, I think only. The first suggestion is emergency financial assistance grants in the amount of $178,275 for increased demand due to COVID. You know, many people's income has been affected in this time and also expenses, like some new expenses for technology and many things that weren't needed before. So we just think it's higher than in a normal year still. And that's a good possible use for the funds to get, you know, directly into the hands of people who are having financial need for money. Also, food is the next one, and it's $80,000 suggestion for increased demand also due to COVID, pretty much the same exact reasons. Eligible clients who are not currently billed to Ryan White Part A. So there is some private funding that supports clients that does have expanded. So we would try to expand it beyond that. And also the cost of food are higher right now due to inflation. So third, develop and deliver training for mental health providers working with long-term survivors. So this is an idea to spend $30,000 to sort of capture the knowledge of people who've been working for, you know, a decade or so with people who are in the long-term survivor category who are beginning to retire. And we've just heard little inklings that there's, you know, there's a new set of people coming into the workforce as there always is, with, you know, general turnover and people starting. And it might benefit people to have a focused training on that before, you know, rather than just learning through practice. And the next one is a needs assessment focused on potential gaps in mental health and group services for long-term survivors, also recommended $30,000. And this is in response to public comments we've heard at the council and elsewhere. We've been starting here that there is a gap in the mental health services available. And actually that's been coming up at the council for many years. Though some of the services still have not quite utilized, like not 100% utilized mental health. So we want to be sure that things are targeted well. So the needs assessment is an idea to really dig in. And is it groups that we're missing or psychosocial support or individual therapy or long-term therapy, you know, past a certain number of sessions, like to try to get a better sense of what is available to people living with HIV and what would fill that gap. Because we have a sense there's a gap, but we're not on our own. We're not completely sure what the right way to direct that funds are. Let's see, I can't scroll. I'm trying to scroll and I'm seeing it's not my screen. Thank you, sorry. I'm like, what's happening? Is it my battery? Then 5, technology to support hybrid psychosocial support groups, $15,000. So this would be a pretty small scale pilot to fund some of the providers of psychosocial service groups so that they could try different technology to see if they could have hybrid meetings with people who are in the room and people who are calling in, either because they're not feeling well or they've had COVID close contacts or a variety of reasons, but just some of the groups that were well-formed before COVID and haven't been able to get back to their same participants since then. An idea to support technology purchases by existing providers in this category. And then number 6, client incentive vouchers, $72,297. And all the ones above were from the Ryan White Part A unspent funds. And this one is the Minority AIDS Initiative unspent funds. And this has a little bit different constraints, but the amount here is mostly because that's the amount of unspent under this one that lends itself to vouchers. So vouchers, I think it says which types of vouchers lower down, but things like taxis and drugstores and grocery stores are likely ways those would be spent, because there's some categories of vouchers that we still have enough on hand for the year. So I would be happy to take questions or you can discuss more broadly.
I just want to say thank you for jumping in with that first part. You're right, Beth. I usually do provide that, but I abruptly handed it over to you and you just you jumped in. Thank you.
Oh, I see Ken's hand. Oh, and you're on mute?
Yes, no, I'm not. So two things I want to clarify and maybe suggest. One is at some point when we got the presentation from our Mark, help me with the ALRP person. Kevin? Yes.
Oh, from HCAP.
Yeah. And there was discussion about feedback about pets for people, and we discussed about how we couldn't use that for certain funds, but we may be able to use it from other funds. And I understood it couldn't be used from any funds related to HRSA. So I'm assuming all these funds are related to HRSA. So this is not where we, Then the second one is I'd like to propose that we increase number 5 and make it a larger study. I happen to know that one of our mental health providers is going through retrofitting and closing their shop till I think January. So, and this is a perfect example of where having this combination hybrid and so that you can either be there or use Zoom. But it seems to me that's going to be a wave of the future for everybody. And it seems like it would be in our best interest to spend a little bit more money on doing a broader, study or training or whatever this is. But I'm open to comments from you, Beth, about that. No, you don't need more, or no, we can't use more, or whatever.
Well, so my comments are, we originally did have more in this category, and there's some debate internally about, you know, because all the things are important. So where to, you know, where the trade-offs fall, the reason it got lowered right at the last minute, actually, is because as we've been talking to more people in the department and getting more feedback on which exact technology to buy, most of the options have some drawbacks. So essentially there've been huge advancements in technology in the last couple of years and even before COVID, but much of it is still a little bit clunky. And even some of the things that seem the most clever and ideal, there's issues. Essentially, like if you put something in the middle of the room with cameras and microphones, that feels exactly right for a psychosocial group. And that's what we were excited about, that exact solution. But if you then put a screen somewhere on a wall for people to look at the people who are offsite, then you have everybody looking away from the cameras. And it just is like a little awkward. So we reduced it, which we could have gone the other way with this. We reduced it just because we don't want people to have to do too much experimenting in the middle of their groups. And we just want people to pilot a couple of innovations. But that could be argued the other direction, that you actually need to spend more to find the right solution to then roll out. So we're open about the amount, and you just have to pick or make a motion to suggest taking it from somewhere else, because the overall pool of money stays the same. And there's room to edit, of course.
Mark, can you scroll back up so we can see where the money might come from?
So we have that whole 178, 275 for, and then we have 80 for food, 30 for training, 30 for needs assessment, and then 72,297 for vouchers. So it'd have to be from one of those pools, obviously.
And the voucher component, this doesn't include vouchers that health services purchases from savings they have from the grant, right? So there's other right. money going for vouchers as well.
Yes, so sometimes this is the money saved from last year end. So the kind of unpredictable savings that we couldn't, you know, recontract for within the year. Usually that just something's changed at the end of the year. In addition to the contractual savings, there's also usually administrative savings, like somebody on the staff is on leave or, you know, there's some sort of money. And usually we can see that a couple months in advance, which is what we need in order to purchase vouchers. So usually we have some unspent administrative funds, not as many, but yeah. So I can answer more questions about what we have on hand and such too. I mean, I'll just say the ballpark is we have about twice that on hand. They'll usually go this plus that in a year is a fairly normal amount. So that we think that would be enough, but there will be other resources available. And there's one other contractual savings we sometimes have for one category, not here.
So I can make my proposal or wait for Matt to make his comments.
Yeah, I think let's since we're still in discussion, maybe Matt first for any motions.
Hi, so I just want to say, and I know I'm San Mateo, so I'm just giving a little input here. My social work supervisor over at Edison Clinic has looked into a lot of things. He actually just started up groups last night virtually. And I don't know, unfortunately, the different options, but they looked into options that actually our medical center has been using for some other groups and our behavioral health division has used. Again, I can't tell you exactly what they are. My fear is that the $15,000 just seems like a random number. And I would be fearful of increasing it, Ken. That's why I'm kind of speaking against any increase to it, because it seems like it's a random number. What exactly are we looking at? I mean, I don't think we should, one, this isn't, there are a lot of brand new technologies. I know there's a lot of issues that with all of them, but I don't think we're like inventing the wheel here. So I don't know what was the initial dollar amount? Was there kind of a thought that we put that dollar amount because of X that we knew we had to look into? And I'm sure there are other jurisdictions who have utilized things. You know, we don't even know what the problem is. Is the problem that people just don't have computers or Wi-Fi? And, you know, that's a whole different problem than the technology whatever software you would use to do the groups and everything. So I guess my concern is just, and it's Beth, it sounds like you were going to be able to answer that. How did we come up with this number and what is it based upon?
So it's based on being aware of one particular technology that is used in some meetings, not in psychosocial groups that we know of, but in meetings that we thought seemed it would translate very well to psychosocial support groups. And those range from 1,000 to 1,400 per unit. If we put it, instead of buying it directly and handing it to people, if we put it in a contract, then there's also another almost 10% indirect rate on top of that. So roughly $1,500 per unit. If we're assuming they already have screens in the room and anything else they need, it's just the microphone and camera part of the technology, and that integrates with Zoom and Microsoft Teams and other things. So about 10 of those units to go to 1 to 3 of our psychosocial, you know, whoever is in contract in that, we would check with them on whether they need or want that. Since then, we've learned of solutions that are more like $4,000 range and up if you want microphones in more than one place in the room. And I think that's a little out of scope for this amount of money. So we would still probably try things in the, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 range at a few sites and like let them see what works best. And then we could think about what we could do next year if we find a solution that works especially well, or a couple solutions, maybe different rooms call for different things.
So that's where I was getting to. Yeah. So that's helpful getting to the point of, you know, I don't know, is 15,000 too much, too little? So it's like, it's more about what really is it that we think is going to be a helpful dollar amount instead of me just guessing at what the dollar amount should be? Because I would be just making out a random number off the top of my head.
So we originally, in our internal document, we originally had $30,000 so that we could try that in one or two other similarly priced units. But as we started to learn that price range may not really solve the problem, we'd cut it in half. So it would be a smaller scale. Like, we still think it might be a good solution. And especially because not everybody not in the room is going to want to be on a screen. So if they're just calling in, it might work very well because they can see the people in the room better. It's just not there's no technology that universally solves this. And still calling into a phone line is almost as good as some of the video things with some of the awkwardnesses it introduces, you know, and like the difficulty connecting and such and needing higher internet bandwidth, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get it. And like I said, the social work supervisor at Edison was looking into multiple different things. He was very pleased. He actually had 3 people attend the very first group last night, and he said it went very well. So I can even follow up down the road, but with kind of let you know what it was he used. But I don't want to derail us here on this. So Beth, are you saying, and I know this is, I guess I'm saying, since you're the voice of SFDPH, would you prefer the 15,000, or do you think it needs to go back up to the 30,000 and so that there can be a larger amount?
I don't have that's the only thing we changed as we worked on this. So both of those are valid and would do something, and I think might fall upon the right solution, or at least rule something out if it's not, you know, not the right solution. So I think either would work. And I think it's at the council's discretion we think all of these things are very worthwhile ways to spend the money.
Yeah.
And it's hard choices, like between like food and, you know, direct support, you know, like it's hard choices. So we don't have a strong feeling, I think collectively, any of us on the exact amount.
Thanks.
Looks like Ken has his hand up.
So, yes, what I'd like to propose, because there are a number of factors involved here. Number one is the client incentive vouchers. We may have other funds coming in to pay for those as well, which Beth just described. So I would propose that we take 15,000 out of that and go back to a $30,000. I know, because I've also heard about this, that there's programs like, I think it's WHO or OWL or something like that, that are these programs that are looking at. But it seems to me we would be short served, is that right? To not look at all of the programs we have options with by spending a little bit more money. For instance, if we were to do these in council meetings, we would want more microphones around the room rather than at just one point, where we know it's almost impossible to hear when we try to do this with the state with one microphone, for instance. So I can see where this would have great benefit and not necessarily hurt the voucher program, especially when the voucher program is used differently by all the programs that use it as incentives. And we've heard about all the problems associated with that and where it comes down to who uses the voucher and what way is it incentive. So bottom line is I'd like to propose that we move 15,000 from client incentives to technology.
So before we get to Matthew, that does sound like a motion has been put on the floor to accept the HHS recommendations as written with the following changes: to increase item five by 15,000 by removing 15,000 from item six, which would then change that to, of course, 57,297. Is there a second to that motion?
I would second it, but I have a question that I guess I could ask after I second the motion, and then we can still vote on the motion.
Yeah. So are you?
I'll second the motion, and then we have discussion, and then I can ask my question.
Correct. So now you're on.
So I can ask my question now?
Yeah. So you've officially seconded that motion. So yeah. Motion on the floor. So now you are discussing the motion on the floor.
Okay, so Beth, question back to you again, I'm sorry. But so when you said that you guys actually had 30,000 and then you moved 15,000 out, where did you put that 15,000? And when you say, was that HHS who did the move before it went to whoever or what, where was that? I guess I'm just curious as to where it came from.
We just put it in emergency financial assistance due to the, you know, just housing, all of the concerns, yeah. You know, if, like that's just is a high leverage item. The other thing that I don't know if I'm sneaking this in, just Mark, stop me if I'm not allowed to say a related comment. For the MAI, it's under a separate approval. It goes to a separate person. So splitting it across two things means it's two separate approvals. And there's one constraint with MAI. Right now, we have only one provider contract under that funding source. And I don't, my battery is very low. I don't know if they have psychosocial service support. So we would have to, I think we'd have to direct it to that same program. And I'll just have to double check with the psychosocial service support.
I'm just saying that's a good point. The MAI, because MAI has to be spent on very specific clients, whereas Ryan White Part A doesn't have to be. So that could be a little confusing. Is there a way we can see, and I apologize, can we do a view like page by page? Because I can only see the bottom page, so I can't see the other top. So you could even make it a little bigger and then do the view of like site, if you go to what is it, view, and go to side by side, there, and then we could probably make it a little bigger. That way I can see the whole thing. My eyes can't see that. You're gonna have to make like, can you do a maximize up at the top right, Mark?
Sorry, it's taking a little bit. This is actually a lot of times where I get kicked out of Zoom. So I'm gonna be trying. So patience.
You've been kicked out of better places than Zoom.
Okay, let me just keep on trying this. Hold on a second.
Because Beth, I mean, I'm hearing you completely. And as a person who manages all the funding, if we move something from Part A, or if we move something from MAI to Part A and mix it, that creates a really complicated mess.
It also just raises the odds that one of them would be denied. And if the request is denied, then we don't get the funding at all. You know, they just recoup that at HRSA. They spend it on other patients elsewhere, but.
Yeah, they send it to the Southeast.
Yeah, pretty much.
So unfortunately, it's not allowing me to Zoom in any
further. No, I was just thinking, can you click, you know how you maximize like at the top, all the way up in the blue, right next to the X.
Okay, I just maximized it. So it's maximized.
Can you try one page?
We were on one page
and you could only see one page at a time.
What about the little 40% at the bottom there?
It is grayed out, so I cannot improve it.
I can just review real quick the high level in case that's
okay. Yeah, that would probably be helpful.
Okay. So, well, I'll actually read the two on the second page first. The 15,000 for technology, which we're considering adjusting, and the 72,278 for client vouchers, which we're considering adjusting. And then from the first page, the four other alternate adjustments we could make are emergency financial assistance, $178,275. Food, $80,000 even. delivering training for mental health professionals working with long-term, developing and delivering a training for mental health professionals working with long-term survivors, $30,000. Needs assessment for, you know, better targeting mental health services, $30,000.
So Beth, it sounds like that truly there are two that we would look at, and based on your rationale, and I understand it about client vouchers because it's MAI funds, then it would seem that we go back to emergency financial assistance to take the money from. And in addition, it sounds like when you get, if you have more funds left over from unfilled positions, that that money can also, rather than directing it to vouchers, can be directed back to emergency financial assistance as well. So that seems to me the rationale I would propose in increasing this technology. And I might note that even though it's technology labeled for psychosocial support, it's also technology, as we just talked about, that will help in other arenas like the council itself or other programs that may find it beneficial for either their community advisory committees or whatever to have this. And it's not just psychosocial support. It kind of kills more than one stone, although we've focused right now on psychosocial support. Is that not correct?
That sounds right. I should say I don't know how feasible it would be for us to direct administrative funds to the emergency financial assistance late in the year. It's not, I don't know that it's impossible, but I'm not sure that it is possible either. I should just caution. I'm not certain on that.
Okay. So can I make a friendly amendment?
If I can get this clarification, that it's not so much amendment, like if both the mover and the second agrees, Ken can change his motion to then read accepting HHS recommendation with the increase in agenda item in line item five by 15,000 and reducing line item one by 15,000, making that 163,275. If you both agree to that, there's no need to do an amendment.
Ken, you go first.
Well, no, you're going to make the friendly amendment. So let me
hear. No, it's not an amendment.
If you both agree on changing that motion, that's fine.
Okay. And so I don't want to discount Matt, but until I know what he's suggesting. So can we?
No. Well, that was my suggestion. That would have been my friendly amendment. But if we don't have to do a friendly amendment, you just change your original motion and I change my second.
Okay. All right.
But I know we're stuck in Robert's rules.
Right. But, you know, without any awareness of what you think would be better, I mean, you've given me a choice of either shooting and get rid of it altogether without knowing what your thoughts are.
Well, I think Matt just said that's what he would support.
Yeah, that's what I said. That would have been my friendly amendment.
Okay.
But doing a friendly amendment, we just go back because of
Robert. Got it. In which case, okay. So what do I do now?
Just say that you agree to changing that as I mentioned.
I agree to change it as you mentioned.
And then I agree to change my second as that movement.
I love Roberta's rules.
I know.
All right.
We spent more time figuring that out.
Right. Well, it's good to have process, so, or is it? the motion on the floor for any further discussion is to accept this document as is, except line item one will be reduced to 163,275, and line item five will be increased to 30K. Any more discussion on this motion on the floor? All right, because this does involve money, this will be a roll call vote. We'll start with you, Ken.
Yes.
Matt?
Yes.
Na?
Yes.
And Thomas?
Abstain.
All right. Motion carries. It will now be carried over to membership with the update. And I'll update on my end. And if Beth, you could just bring that back to HHS so that they're all in the loop, that this is what's being considered next.
Can I ask a stupid process question?
Yes.
I forget. Were we the first one?
You were, because there was a snafu at community engagement. It was unfortunately not listed. The item. Well, I don't know if actually the group even achieved quorum, because only two people showed up. But even if they eventually did achieve quorum, it was not noticed as a vote on the agenda. So you all are the first. You are the originating committee.
I was wondering if we had quorum.
Yes, we do, because we have two excused absences, and so that reduces the number, the total that we have to deal with when looking at what we can achieve quorum. And so because we had five from seven, three was enough to achieve quorum. All right. So I will now, this is often another time when I get kicked out of Zoom. Let's just see if it happens when I switch.
You keep saying that, but you haven't been kicked out yet. I feel like
I know, maybe I'm crossing my fingers a little bit.
I know. I was going to say, is this one of those things where you're wishing it happened and you're.
I would never wish to be parted from you. Oh, is this being recorded? All right. Okay. Let's see. Let me share a screen. So our person who's very excited to present this at our full council meeting, who actually has already presented this, I think, to Getting to Zero, couldn't make this particular meeting. So I'll go over the Hep C microelimination presentation. Let me try to share screen, fingers crossed. We there?
Not yet.
We are here, but we can't see the screen yet.
Says Mark Molnar has started
thinking.
Screen sharing. Double click to enter full screen mode.
Maybe we need to direct some of that carryover money to Mark Molnar technology.
Or training.
Told you so. Akira, can you share the PDF? I did not like the PowerPoint.
So direct correlation to age and.
Ooh.
I think I'm a very youthful 52.
I think Mark's younger than at least probably two of us on this panel.
I think I'm older than Thomas too.
Just give me 1 second.
I am 54.
There we go. Very important. These are very important things that we should all know.
And about. I am not.
And I'm 45, if you believe me.
I do believe you.
Where a haircut, by the way, Ken.
Not a lot left. You could learn from that, Thomas.
I grow. Oh, yeah, you're good.
Can everyone see that?
Yes.
All right, 22 slides. And this is only one of, well, I guess Megatrends is actually two presentations. That's from Tracy and from Bill. And then this is our third presentation, although it probably will go first. All right, this is it. Next slide, please, Kira, or next page. All right, so we start off with some Hep C basics, some little factoids. Next slide. I mean, next page, sorry, this PDF. And then we have our national snapshot. Next page. And then locally, next page. By subgroup, this is, I think, where we're really drilling down to what's important for the council to see. And then our prevalence, important pack. Hold on for just a second, let me take a look at this. Okay, yeah, co-infection, great, next page. Important, next page. As always, there should always be a slide on how Hep C can actually be easily cured, next page. Here's the actual program goals of the microelimination initiative, next page. Information on surveillance, next page. Next page. Definitions of the priorities. Co-infected list, what is this? Let's see. Okay, next page. Can you go back to the prior page? Let's see the difference between these two. I see SFDPH and then next page. Okay, in California. Okay. Interesting. All right, next page. Let's see. Okay, next page. outreach efforts. Next page. More outreach efforts. Next page. It's all very straightforward. Different kind of support available. Next page. Support for patients. Next page. Future goals. Hold this for a second. Pretty straightforward. Next page. I think it's probably just any questions. Oh, thank you. And questions. And so Rachel will be providing this. It seems like a pretty straightforward presentation. It's similar to what we've received annually. Ken? Oh, you're muted.
So I think my question would be around, and just preparing her, would be around the treatment options. And it's kind of in line with me just reading about the governor saying that California will start producing its own, what is it you take for?
Insulin.
Insulin, yes, thank you, Kira. Start producing its own insulin because insulin is so outrageously expensive. So I'm just curious about what the cost of the treatment for the Hep C is. And in line with that, the reason being, you know, whether there's advocacy we should be doing for the governor to do the same thing to help reduce the cost of the Hep C treatment.
So my understanding is that this is, and perhaps Beth and Thomas can help me with this, is that actually treatment is free? Is that the case, Thomas and Beth? Do you know?
Thomas raised his hand first. I'll let him take it, but I have information too if he doesn't.
Yeah, free might be a little bit of a misnomer. It's the classic, if you're underinsured, you have access. That bandwidth in between. Where people really struggle, who don't qualify for the subsidies and things along those lines. So, and Ken, just to, the bigger picture, I mean, I think the thing that's different with insulin is just it's an ongoing kind of lifelong. I heard years ago that basically HIV, like diabetes was the most expensive kind of life experience, and then HIV was behind it. With regards to just kind of medications and what it costs the healthcare system as a whole. So I assume that's why I feel like HIV drugs would probably be a better way to go than actually the Hep C, because it's a 6-week kind of one time, one and done, unless there's reinfection. So if that helps at all with the conversation.
I will add that about 5 years ago when it was new, it was $80,000 for that short course of treatment. So at the very first it was, but Medi-Cal covers it, and a lot of people in California have Medi-Cal coverage. And the drug makers themselves do the charity option if somebody is uninsured, as Thomas is noting. So some private insurance may not have access to it, or their doctor has to, you know, prescribe it.
So my comment would then maybe just a little something in the presentation about that, you know, that most people have access without that it's not limited to folks only if they have money or something.
That makes sense. I can provide feedback to Rachel saying that after slide 9, I'm looking at it right now, maybe just add a slide about costs.
Thank you.
Any other feedback for Rachel that I could pass on? All right, and done. That was it for our agendas. I'm helping Ken out, Thomas, since you joined late, because he doesn't have the agenda available on screen. And so that is pretty much it for this meeting. I will wish you all a fond adieu and have a good rest of your week. And I will see you, Kira, at membership. Bye. And you too, I guess, Beth. Are you coming to membership to go over the HHS?
I think so, yes.
All right. See y'all later.
That's what I plan to. Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, wait, really quickly, Mark, I had a question about process for Robert's rules. So if someone is excused, then you don't count that number in quorum?
Oh, we haven't been doing that for committee full council. No.
Okay. So not for full council. That's only for our committees.
No, for either we haven't been. So I subtract the number of excused absences, and I have the number of. That's why it's always important, like if you're out, to actually let us know so that I can subtract that, so that we can actually get to that get to that quorum. So if someone just doesn't show up, then unfortunately they're counted, and so the it's harder to actually reach quorum. And so that's for excused and for leave of absences.
But then, for example, say you get a bunch of excused, then that, and only like two people show up, but